Thank you for coming. Appreciate you being here.
Hi, guys.
Governor.
Thanks for being here.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming. We appreciate it.
How are you?
It's a long drive.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for being here. Good to see you, Governor. Yes, good to see you.
Governor, good to see you.
Good to see you. Colonel, how are you?
Mr. Governor, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Governor.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
Gotta get Larry.
Keep your size. You can be a ugly.
No, no, no.
No.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for coming. We're assembled here on Monday, November 12th, and as our nation has celebrated both today and over the weekend Veterans Day, which is an important time for our nation to reflect upon the tremendous service and sacrifice of the men and women in our military and the veterans of military service, we gather here today to express thanks through our words, but also through the deeds that we want to express in this upcoming legislative session. I'm very grateful that we're joined on a state holiday by so many members of the legislature and members of our administration and many others who are supporters and concerned citizens for veterans and the cause of the military in our state and in our nation. And if I could just ask them as I read their name to raise their hand, I would appreciate it. We're joined by Representative Al Junkie from the Willmar area. Thank you, Representative. We have so many, we better not applause for each one, otherwise we'll be here for a while. Yes, just for Junkie. Just for
sharing.
Yeah. Representative Dan Severson, a veteran himself. Representative Larry Hawes. Representative Lyle Coonan. Representative Kathy Tinglestead. Representative Lynn Wardlow. Representative Eric Paulson. Representative Bob Detmer. We also have from the Cabinet Commissioner Magnin, our new health commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner, for coming. Our CIO, the Chief Information Officer of the State, Gopal Khanna. Thank you, Gopal. Commissioner Glenn Wilson from the Department of Commerce. And we have representatives from most of the key veterans organizations in the state of Minnesota. First, we have Rick Rohn, who's the president of the CVSO organization, also the Mayor Bidette, and drove a long way to be here. Thank you, Mayor, for being here today as well. Jerry Kaiser, where'd Jerry go?
Right here.
Yeah, Jerry, thank you so much. He's the state chairman of the Legion Council. We have Sid Schmuckler from the Jewish War Vets. Sid, thanks for coming back. We appreciate that. Commander James Kofer from the American Legion. Thank you, sir, for being here today. Commander David Kleispool from the American XPOW MIA group. Thank you, sir. Commander Bob Bjorkman from the VFW, Executive Director of the Disabled American Veterans, Dean Escheman. Thank you, Dean. Executive Director Chip Langen. Where'd Chip go? Yeah, Chip, thank you. And Executive Director Kathy Vitlis. Yeah, thank you, Kathy. And we also have, of course, Commissioner Dyrud and General Shelato with us, and the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Veterans Affairs, Michael Puglisi. Michael's back there, as well as many other distinguished guests and visitors and representatives of the veterans community. As I mentioned, we are gathered here today to say thank you, not just with our words, but with our deeds, and these deeds include the need both in Washington and St. Paul to pass legislation and make progress on public policy matters that further support and encourage and recognize the service of our veterans. Just a few months ago, we had a chance to dedicate this beautiful memorial, which you'll see out the window, to our World War II veterans. It's one of the many beautiful memorials that are on our Capitol grounds here in St. Paul, and I think it's a fitting tribute on behalf of Minnesota to our World War II veterans. But after that ceremony, we had speeches and the like. I had a chance to go down and extend my hand to one of the veterans of World War II, and I said, well, thank you, sir, for saving the world. And he looked at me and said, well, somebody had to do it. And that's a spirit of kind of humble, selfless service that is reflected in our veterans, where they, of course, have done such world-changing, difference-making things, and yet they approach their service with humility, and they approach their service with a sense of duty and commitment and honor and patriotism that makes us so proud. But it also makes us grateful. So today we'd like to unveil 15 new initiatives that we'd like the legislature to consider, and then the extension or enhancement of 20 other initiatives, so a total of 35 initiatives that we'd like the legislature to consider in 2008. I also want to say that veterans issues and the cause of supporting men and women in our military is something that we can all unite behind, whether people are Republicans or Democrats or Green or Independent or something else or something different. It's a tremendous opportunity for our state and our nation in an otherwise polarized political climate, for people to come together and work together, work on a bipartisan basis, and make progress for our veterans in Minnesota. And I want to thank the legislators here and all of their colleagues for the really bipartisan great work that the legislature has done over the last few years in improving our programs in Minnesota for veterans and veteran support services, and we hope that that momentum and spirit of bipartisan work can continue. And thank you for coming today and being here to stand with us. The first initiative out of these 35, and I'll try to go through them very quickly, but if you have follow-up questions or more detailed questions, please let me or Commissioner Dyrud know, and we'll try to get you more information. But in the interest of some brevity, we were briefly describe these in the release. The first is a proposal that we'd like to renew, and that is to provide 100% exemption for military retirement pay or pay for people who are currently in active military service from state taxation. This is a proposal that we have made before, but the legislature has not yet agreed to pass it or support it. We hope that they would consider it or at least give it further consideration. We believe it's worthy of support. We found an interesting historical fact, which is Minnesota used to have an exemption like this, or at least a partial exemption like this. It began in the late 1970s and continued into the early 1980s, and it was enhanced a few different times. But it was unfortunately abolished in 1987. I think at the time they had a exclusion from taxation for then up to about $11,000 of military retirement pay. And of course, this would extend the proposal today not just to the retirement pay, but to the pay for active duty service members as well. We believe, of course, that veterans have paid enough, and this portion of their pay that they receive for their military service, we think it's a wonderful gesture to say thank you to them for their service by exempting their pay. But importantly, it's also a way for us to be a state where veterans want to retire and to be. And as you may know, the upper Midwest and places like Minnesota are not growing in population as fast as some other parts of the country. So we're looking for ways to strategically attract and retain world-class talent from around the country to be in Minnesota, to stay in Minnesota. And veterans, of course, are at the very top of the charts when it comes to things like skill and education and diligence and commitment, patriotism, civic duty, civic service, volunteerism, and so many other positive traits. And so this sends a message that we would want to be a place where veterans would consider making their permanent home. And as you know, a lot of veterans retire and have many decades of tremendous and productive service still in front of them in a whole variety of ways. So we want to have Minnesota join the ranks of other states who have this kind of exclusion in their tax code. It's important to know that 42 other states have some version of this kind of exclusion in their tax code. It varies from state to state in terms of the degree or the kind, but 42 other states have some kind of exclusion. We hope that Minnesota could join those states. On page 2 of the release, if you're following along under the category of military and veteran services, we're asking for some additional money to keep the popular and I think effective Veterans Linkage Line up and running. This has been well received. It's something we unveiled, I think, in the late summer time period. It's a one-stop shop where veterans can call a 1-800 number, talk to somebody who is an informed and trained referral officer who can then make sure that that veteran is getting referred to the right place for the right services under this linkage line. The money here would upgrade the software, continue and enhance the crisis connection contract, take care of some staffing and training issues, and we'd like to continue that and enhance that in Minnesota. In addition, we're asking for funding for caseworkers on behalf of veterans out of the Department of Veterans Affairs. These are individuals who could provide individual assistance to veterans who are having a hard time navigating either federal law or state law or programs or the various other array of services or programs. As you might imagine, the department gets contacted from time to time with people who are frustrated about forms or regulations or requirements. But the department doesn't have a very robust amount of people who can individually do casework. And so this is a proposal to try to add some casework capability to the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs for veterans and military members and their families. We'd also like to make a change to the Support Our Troops license plate program, which you probably know Minnesota passed a couple of years ago, a Support Our Troops plate. The additional money that people pay for those plates goes towards veteran support programs and services. However, there's a $338,000 annual cap that gets placed on spending that comes out of that fund, which is, we think, unnecessary. So we hope the legislature would lift that cap and allow all of the money to be, that's generated from those license plates to be spent on veteran support services and programs. The next is a state navigators initiative where our Minnesota National Guard, Department of Military Affairs, and Veterans Affairs could use the help of some ombudsman as we try to coordinate and navigate all of the different state programs and federal programs that can be coordinated in a way to support the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Task Force and to support the veterans' needs as well. So that's some ombudsman position. We're also asking for some additional money for the State Soldier Assistance Program. This is a very helpful program aimed at needy veterans or veterans who are in a particular chapter of crisis or need in their life. And this is a somewhat flexible fund that allows people to receive funds for emergency shelter, emergency housing situations, perhaps some crisis cash situations, or some other immediate needs. And so we're asking that that fund be financially bolstered with an additional appropriation. We're also asking to create a veterans claims office that would be improve the outreach to veterans. You'd be surprised how many veterans who are eligible for benefits and programs do not sign up. I forget the percentage, but it's like 40 or 50% of the veterans don't, who are eligible for benefits, don't enroll. And so being able to have the ability to market veteran services, to reach out to veterans, to reach them where they may be, where they may live, where they may have activities, is important if we want to allow veterans to take full advantage of these programs. So we're asking for some help as it relates to this Veterans Claims Office, and then also adding a female veterans service officer or caseworker as well, because there's particular things that women may feel comfortable sharing with other women that may not be the case with men in all instances. So we'd like to add a female veteran service officer or coordinator as well. We'd also like to work with our CVSO partners at the county level to make sure that we have at a state level the kind of best practices platform, so we could have some standards or some expectations or best practices as it would relate to county veteran service officer activities. That's an important relationship. We don't want to be telling the CVSOs what to do or micromanaging their activities, but we think with the benefit of all the CVOs in the state working together, we can identify and standardize training, standardize performance expectations, and have our CVSO members kind of strive and work towards those goals. And Mayor, thank you for your work and the work of your whole organization on that front. We also want to expand the Veterans Assistance Offices on campus. This was a new program a year or so ago where instead of having universities or colleges having somebody who might not have a veterans background or military background or be dedicated fully to helping veterans on campus, creating positions or people who are on these campuses, meeting veterans on campus, dedicated exclusively to their cause, has been a real success, and now we want to expand that to more people and more campuses. Also, a traumatic brain injury, a post-traumatic stress disorder, outreach and education. There's a good federal program in this regard, but we want to make sure that as many veterans as possible know about it and are enrolled in it, so there's a promotional aspect to this. But also, we'd like to conduct a study to make sure that the future mental health needs around these issues are fully addressed in Minnesota and that we're fully prepared to address them as a state. Next is the Veterans Affairs Marketing. We do have an existing Veterans Affairs Marketing program and plan, but we want to enhance that with some additional dollars and some additional activities. So a request for additional funding is there. We also want to increase the CVSO grant program. A few years ago, or a couple years ago, we created a grant program where counties or interested county veteran service officers could apply on a competitive basis for some additional funding for initiatives that they have out of their office or at the county level. It might be in healthcare, it might be in housing, it might be in reintegration, it might be in outreach. And these grants have been successful, and we'd like to increase some funding for those activities as well. We'd like to give some more money to the MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, which is a group that has worked for a very long time on combating homelessness as it relates to veterans. And as you may know, there's a very large disproportionate number of people in our society who are homeless, who are also veterans. Minnesota's made some good progress in this regard, but more needs to be done. And so we're asking to increase some funding to this well-established and successful organization in that regard. The Proud to Be a Veterans license plate. This is different than the Support Our Troops license plate. We'd like to extend that so people who ride motorcycles can buy a plate like that as well. And then some of the additional money can be available for memorials and veterans programming as well. Next is a securing land for a new state veteran cemetery in northern Minnesota in the Duluth area. This is something we've had discussions with the federal government. If all goes according to plan, they will pay for the acquisition of the land The state will be responsible for the upkeep and the maintenance, which we're glad to commit to, but we, of course, would need legal authority to get and spend that money for that purpose. Moving on to the next category of employer-focused initiatives, the state enhancement of the Employer Support and Guard and Reserves, which is the ESGR. This is a well-established program nationally and here in Minnesota. It provides recognition to employers who go above and beyond the call of duty in support of men and women who are serving in the military and are in their employ. So they go and provide additional assistance or additional support, or they maintain salary, or they maintain benefits, or they'll go to the home of the veteran and provide some chores or some improvements to the home. And the ESGR board is a board I serve on nationally and been involved in here in the state of Minnesota. It's a great program, but now we'd like to extend the recognition to employers of spouses who go above and beyond in support of the family of the veterans as well. So that is something we're asking for some additional funding for to cover that. The unemployment insurance costs incurred by employers is the next one. You might imagine that if you are an employer, you have a veteran or a member of the military, I should say, who's deployed for a period of time, then you have to hire a long-term replacement. When the veteran comes back or the member of the military comes back and we want them to get their job back, and we hope and expect that they get their job back, then that replacement gets laid off, and then the employer incurs an unemployment insurance overburden. And we don't want that to be a disincentive or a discouragement from to employers from hiring veterans. So we're asking that the state would come in and pick up that overburden as it relates to that situation. Next, we want to provide state contracting preferences for businesses owned by members of the military or their families. We do this for other types of business categories. We think it's reasonable to extend to businesses owned by military members. Next is the Service Member Civil Relief Act rules applying to this is a federal law that applies to things like legal protections for residential leases, automobile leases, credit card situations, eviction situations, installment contracts, court proceedings, interest rates or loans, I should say, and other things. And we want to make sure that that gets extended in Minnesota fully to spouses as well. We want to next go to the protection of reservist-owned businesses during mobilization. This would delay or stay any lawsuits or legal actions for a period of time so that people aren't put at a disadvantage when if and when they get sued because of their deployment or because they're out of the state or out of the country. Next is the Veterans Business Assistance Program, which would allow veterans businesses, small businesses, to qualify for assistance if they have sustained economic injury as a result of their deployment or their service. Next is the spouse protection under the Uniform Services Employment and Reemployment Acts. We've encountered some situations where spouses have asked employers to have some time off or some special accommodations because of the burdens or challenges associated with their spouse's deployment or service, and employers, in a few cases, not in most cases, they're understanding, but in a few cases, they've been difficult and, in fact, have resulted in some adverse employment action. So this would extend the protections of this federal act to Minnesota and to spouses as well. Next is a hiring and a training incentive for businesses that employ veterans. We have a lot of programs in Minnesota for employment training, skill development, and like. We want to have that be specifically or part of it specifically earmarked or targeted towards members of the reserve and guard and the military. And then we have just a few more to go, and then we'll be done. Additional proposals. We want to make sure that, you know, we have a tuition reimbursement program in Minnesota, which is terrific. For Guard, for example, it's 100% tuition reimbursement for members of the military. But if somebody is of an age or a circumstance where they can't take full advantage of that, it's not a great incentive for them or benefit for them. If you're Severson and you're going on 60, you may not use that benefit. But your spouse or your children might. So we want to at least start going down the path of opening that benefit up to the extent it's unused by the members of the military themselves, in this case allowing the spouses to use it for up to 12 semester credits with the state picking up those costs. We also want to have a medic qualification bonus. Of course, we have a dramatic need for the right number of medics in the right places at the right time in our military service, and that gets increasingly challenged given the competition for healthcare personnel and the like. So we'd like to offer a bonus for medics who meet recertification requirements, and hopefully that will open up the pool and provide an additional incentive for those people to continue to serve. We'd like to expand the current law property tax exclusion for homesteads of disabled veterans. We'd like to have the deferment in addition to of any special assessments that might be visited upon a member of the military while he or she is gone to at least 6 months after they return from deployment. We'd like to do some things to enhance the military voting rights or procedures, I should say, the logistics of absentee ballots for members of the military. Overall, that has gone smoothly, but there have been a few bumps in the road or disruptions or untimely situations there where we think we could clarify it with a little more focus and financing on that front. The power of attorney law we'd like to strengthen so it's less likely that any member of the military would be abused or taken advantage of if they grant a power of attorney. We've had a number of situations where in light of their deployment or service, somebody gives up a power of attorney, and it has gone off in directions that I think the member of the military did not expect or hope for, and it's resulted in some pretty heartbreaking situations. And so we'd like to tighten up or at least limit that power of attorney that's granted by members of the military. We'd like to also reach out to the courts and probation officers and others who are connected to the criminal justice system to make sure that they understand the unique or semi-unique challenges faced by members of the military. So we'd like to offer some training, some outreach, some information about that, and also when the courts and the criminal justice system encounter veterans and members of the military, that they are aware of the full array of specialized programs for veterans, both at the federal and state level, so these county judges and stuff don't have to create their own referral system or send veterans to programs that may be you know, what they normally do when we have all these other programs that are uniquely tailored to veterans and veteran support services. We'd like to establish a Camp Ripley land fund. There's a DNR kind of protocol for how we manage lands relative to forest management in Minnesota, but we'd like to allow the management of timber on Ripley to be used for military purposes and have those proceeds and funds get turned back to you know, the folks. It's a state-owned facility, but the military to use for management of that resource and management of those lands. We'd like to amend the statute in Minnesota that requires a 10-year waiting period for somebody to be promoted if they are killed in action under certain circumstances, so that can happen more immediately. And then we'd like to simplify and change the charitable gambling contributions or system in Minnesota so that it's less burdensome, easier to manage, and hopefully more profitable for our veteran service organizations in Minnesota. These changes or proposals, I should say, come on top of several years of good work, some by the legislature on a bipartisan basis and all the good folks assembled here. Some of the highlights of what has been done in the past are listed on the rest of your release. I won't go through all of that. I apologize for the lengthy nature of this list, but these are important things. Members of the military, veterans, family members come up, share these concerns or ideas with us, and we're glad that they did because it results in the ability to hopefully provide more support and encouragement and expressions of gratitude to them. I know it's hot here with the air conditioning not working on a state holiday, but very briefly, if we could get Commissioner Dyrud, where did the commissioner go?
Right behind you.
Come up and say a few words, General Shalito, and then we'll make sure we move on.
Thank you. Welcome to what we think is the grandest view in Minneapolis-St. Paul up here in the fifth floor. Thank you for coming out today. Just like to mention, underline what the governor said, less than 40% of veterans realize the benefits they're eligible for from the VA. That's just one example, but less than 40%. Think about that. That is sort of behind all of this. All of this in some way is reaching out to veterans, bringing them forward. One thing we're so happy with the success is that started in August was this LinkVet, the toll-free line, one-stop shopping. And this came out, so many people had a part of this, putting this all together, this discussed in committee meetings, you know, from the governors on, this is just a grand coming together from so many different areas, and it is really taking off. And that's just one thing I'd like to emphasize. But there are obviously 35 points, and I'm not going to go through every one of them. Thank you for coming out today. But we're available, obviously, for questions or clarifications or anything. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Commissioner. General?
I want to thank Governor Plenty, not necessarily for the initiatives, but for the initiative on his part about a year and a half ago to bring together the commissioners of the state. This proposal that's being presented today is a result of over 14,000 National Guard soldiers being deployed somewhere. We have our Army Reserve out of the state of Minnesota in our active duty. And we were tasked to bring together the public, the private, non-governmental agencies, and virtually every one of the things that you see on this sheet today can be grounded with a specific incident and rationale that created it. This is not a dream sheet. This is the facts and figures of our experience of returning soldiers. And I'm very, very proud to say that as I go to national conferences, when I can look at a family member who is with me and she leans over there and says, aren't we doing that? And I can say yes, but there's a lot of work to do. So thank you.
Thank you, General. Appreciate that. I'd be remiss if we didn't recognize Senator Vickerman as well. He wasn't able to be with us today, but I think he wanted to be, and we'll be meeting with him, I think, tomorrow. But he has been a steadfast and faithful friend and supporter of veterans, obviously, with his background, but also just legislatively, he's been a real champion of these issues in the Senate, and we convey our thanks to him as well, and to all the legislators here. We appreciate it. With that, we'll be happy to take questions.
Governor, do you have a proposal for offsetting the revenue loss from this tax exemption?
We have a budget proposal that we'd be making to the legislature where the cost of this will be fully covered, but it doesn't require or need cuts in other programs. This will be funded out of resources that are available.
Are you going to need some surplus in the upcoming budget forecast to do some of these things? It's $50 million in a non-budget year.
Well, we have, Eric, you know, obviously the economy is slowing down and turning down, so the numbers may change in November and February, but at least as it stands now, lots of money available on the bottom line. We expect that will erode or change, but we expect some of the money will be left. In addition, we have some other proposals that will allow us to fund this without affecting any other programs.
Do you expect this to be your biggest supplemental budget item, or somewhere in the middle, or not one of the top?
Well, it will depend. Supplemental budget items will depend largely on the February forecast, and so we'll know more, not just today, but in November, but really also in February. There's a lot of uncertainty relative to the economy. You know, we left the session, I think, with something approaching $500 million in the bottom line for the current biennium, and $1 billion or approaching $1 billion in the out biennium, plus you know, $800 or $900 million in the cash flow and rainy day fund. So the state, as of last February or end of session, is in reasonably good financial shape. But the economy is expressing signs of concern. So we'll see. Well, you know, the details of this will be worked out, Rachel, but we're just generally aware that there are some frustrations or concerns either about the mechanics of it, the timeliness of it, and we want to make resources available to make sure those issues get addressed. But we need to do everything we can to make sure every member of the military who wants to vote can vote in a timely manner. And if that's not happening, we are open to doing that in any and all ways possible to make it happen. Well, we have, of course, the Fort Snelling Cemetery. We have the one outside of Brainerd, right? Little Falls, right?
Camp Ripley.
And then this one would be in Duluth. Is there a fourth one?
No. The state cemetery, and the VA funds state cemeteries. So this would be, and they have very strict guidelines as to, you know, population basis, et cetera.
The Fed,
cetera.
You mean?
The federal. Yes, that's at the federal level. That's what we're talking about. We in the state have to work with that.
Could you speak to the deed?
Go ahead, Clark.
Disproportionate number of veterans up there that are reaching.
Well, I don't know if you've ever been at an event at the Fort Snelling Cemetery. That's a federal cemetery, and that now is, you know, there's a point at which that will be full, probably quite a ways into the future. But there, that, of course, is Minneapolis-St. Paul. You look at our cemetery, state cemetery, it is just awesome. It is. Well, I don't know if it's good to say it's growing, but I mean, like, that's, you know, I mean, but people are coming. It's centrally located. But what about the people in the northern or in the corners of the state? And that is exactly the purpose of this, the federal government, you know, the cemetery, the monument service, to provide funding to states to increase the state cemeteries, you know, based on location and population. So this would provide funding to get those cemeteries started.
I think, Brian, the feds, as we understand it, have, you know, objective measurements of where they locate these and why, And so their ability and willingness to look at northeastern Minnesota reflects a geographic access issue, but I think it also reflects a demographic need, or otherwise they wouldn't be funding it.
Exactly. And what would be the timing of the northern Minnesota cemetery? Is it something that's definitely going to happen that might happen at some point in the future? Is it 10 years? 20 years?
No, the VA, 10 years is probably too much, but it's not. It's certainly not next year. You show a willingness at the state level to receive these funds, basically, to put it bluntly. But then you have to get on the list at the federal level, and so it could be, you know, 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road. But it's not next year, but less than 10 years. Let's put it that
way. When was the last time that cemetery was added to the system?
1986 was that? 1986, our first state cemetery opened in Little Falls.
Oh, we got time for one more question.
Other questions?
Cover on the homeless. Vets, I mean, I think it was a national report that's quite disturbing on the percentage of vets that are homeless. With this outreach money, is part of it to get, I assume that homeless vets could be taken care of if they knew about the program. Is this some of that for outreach?
Yes. Well, in Minnesota, Eric, I and several other people here authored a bill in the late 1990s for significant new investment in infrastructure for homeless veterans, and it's resulted in units being built near the VA hospital in Minneapolis as well as in St. Cloud, and we hope that we could do even more in that front. In addition, we have a business plan in Minnesota to end chronic homelessness within 10 years, and that's resulted in significant capital investment being made for new units and new facilities in Minnesota, and it's showing very promising results. We can help and will help homeless veterans, but we need to be able to reach out to them, find out who they are, and these monies on outreach and marketing will help with that. But in almost all cases, if we can locate the homeless veteran, we can help him or her find housing.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
But I see you jumping. No problem.
You're in there a couple of times. You did a great job.